This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You've caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to yet another episode. In fact, our first episode of the new season of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We do appreciate you coming. We are in the week leading into the end of the month.
October 31st is right around the corner.
And that is a controversial time for a lot of Christians. A lot of people wonder, is this a holiday that we can celebrate in the typical cultural way, or is it something that can be redeemed, or is there something better to do with our time and our attention?
Yeah, we've heard it all, and we've heard it all from the beginning of our marriage. You know, I remember, you know, hearing Christians saying, no, this is something we can't be a part of. I remember hearing them say, you know, well, originally it was meant to make fun of the forces of darkness. We should redeem it. We should make it about the gospel. And I remember trying that and getting in trouble for it.
Well, yeah, you know, we did, of course, we being on a military base, that's going to be a little different environment than your typical First Amendment forum. But you know, long and the short of it is, I think it is a matter of liberty. I think that there's some room for Christians to disagree in an agreeable fashion. But, you know, for our family, we've taken a totally different tack.
Because when we started looking at the Halloween situation, it just, it didn't seem to be about making fun of the forces of evil anymore. It seemed to be about celebrating it, about celebrating death and gore and blood. And when we found out that there's a holiday the church has been celebrating longer than they've been celebrating Halloween, I was kind of surprised. I was kind of surprised at what an incredible blessing it would be for our family.
This is true. So we're going to talk about what our family is going to be doing, or what our family normally does this time of year. Actually, this year, we're going to be traveling, so we're going to be doing a little different thing at a different time.
Do it on a different day.
We'll do it on a different
day.
But
our children would never let us skip it.
That's true. All right, and that is, we're going to be talking about Reformation Day. Now, what is Reformation Day? I guess we need to have a little bit of Reformation history. You know, last year, our church invited me to preach two Sundays to talk about the Reformation because they just realized that many people in the church simply don't know their history.
I didn't hear much about it growing up, and I grew up in a Christian family.
Yeah. So I guess in a nutshell, because we really don't, you know, we're not going to take the whole half hour to talk about the history of it. I guess the nutshell of it is that by the time of the Middle Ages, in the early 1500s, there was really, for the most part, only one Christian church in town, and that was the Roman Catholic Church. Literacy was at a low ebb. The printed word wasn't available yet widely, and so people depended on the teaching of their local priests for whatever understanding of God's word they'd gotten. And unfortunately, over the centuries since the apostle time, the Catholic Church had introduced new doctrines. There had been a lot of things that had fallen by the wayside, and that there were certain abuses which had grown up in what was basically a monopoly church situation.
In fact, very few people really knew the gospel because the word of God was only available in Latin. The preaching was in Latin. The songs were in Latin, which hardly anyone spoke.
And a lot of things that were intended for good,
a
lot of things that were meant to be symbolic, that were meant to be teaching tools, had assumed much more importance than the things that they actually were meant to point to.
And so the Lord rose up several different people during this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jan Hus.
Yeah, Jan Hus, the Waldensians back in the centuries before that. You know, there were many people that had rediscovered the Word of God and were seeking to teach it to the people, seeking to put it into the common everyday language so that people could take it in, could make it part of their own thinking.
And Martin Luther had been thinking about these things for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there came a fundraising event.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to raise money for St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. and they decided to issue indulgences. And what these were kind of pardons that you could buy from the church for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know that's kind of shocking to even talk about now. We have, find it hard to even believe people believe that. But Johann Tetzel, who was selling them in the area where Martin Luther was, really took it to an extreme.
And we do need to preface a bit. Martin Luther, as a young man, had taken a vow to become a priest. He had been severely frightened by a near death incident, and in a moment of terror, had made a vow to become a priest, to become a monk, and to renounce his worldly vocations and all the rest. And so,
and he was a priest of the Catholic Church at this time.
That's correct. He had become a monk of the Augustinian order.
And he was a pastor of the local church in this area.
Because he had studied and had become, at the direction of his superiors, had become a doctor of theology, had gone through all the training, had become a student of the Word of God and a student of historical theology and church history and all of the rest of that. And so the young Dr. Luther had been called to become a member of the faculty at the fledgling University of Wittenberg, Germany. And it was there in the province of Saxony where he came head to head with this practice of the sale of indulgences. And Johann Tetzel, a Dominican friar, if I recall correctly, had been tasked and given the permit and the assignment to go into basically market these indulgences, which were a fundraising exercise. And
the way he marketed them was by saying, if you buy this indulgence, you can do anything you want to do, and you will not suffer in purgatory.
Yeah, that you'll have full forgiveness of any sins, past or present. And, you know, that frankly, that just doesn't have a place in the scriptures. It doesn't have a place in the Word of God. And Martin Luther decided it was time to confront this, which he saw as an abusive practice, something that was undermining the true teaching of God's word, something which was not healthy for the church. And so as an academic, Luther posted a list of theses to open up a debate and a discussion. And this was a pretty comprehensive list of things he had been thinking and teaching about for some time. It was called Luther's 95 Theses.
He had 95 things he was concerned about in the church that he didn't feel like were matched the Word of God.
And he worded these as questions for debate, as propositions, meaning for academics to meet together and discuss these as issues.
Yeah, it was
church.
An invitation to debate, and his thought was that the academics, the professors, the leaders in the church would discuss these things, And the church would be reformed by realizing that it did no longer match the Word of God, and it would change. And that what he did is he took that list that he wrote and he nailed it to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral.
Now that sounds pretty provocative, but actually, the way things were done at that time, the church door was a big, heavy piece of lumber. It was a huge, you know, I've seen these kind of doors. They're very heavy, and they were frequently used as bulletin boards. This isn't a matter of, like, spray painting a manifesto across the front of your church. This was posting something on the church bulletin board. Really, that's what it was. But what he didn't realize was that was going to ignite a hunger and a thirst for knowing more about God's word and for reforming the church and getting back to true worship and true Christian practice in every regard.
Because what happened is someone translated them into German. And then the printing press, they began to make copies of it. They distributed it everywhere. And soon everyone was debating these ideas.
You know, it really was a matter of an idea that came as technology was exploding.
At the right time.
You know, it was just the same as, you know, so many things have changed since the coming of the World Wide Web. You know, that now there's all sorts of different news media available that weren't available 30 years ago because of the Internet. Well, you know, Gutenberg's printing press was just coming on into common use at that time, and suddenly there's a hunger for people for reading this new media, and what comes into the discussion but this Dr. Luther's series of questions saying, Is the church really following God's will to do these things? Are we really following what the Bible teaches us, what the apostles taught us, what Jesus Christ himself taught us? Let's go back and look at this again.
And if he had done this before the creation of the printing press, like happened with Hodgson and Peter Waldies, then there might have been something happened in the local area.
Right.
But after the explosion of printing, his theses went all over Europe.
That's right. It spread all over Germany, and then it went into other countries. It was translated further and got a discussion going throughout all of Christendom, as they called it, all of Western Europe, began discussing these things, some people in support of, some people in opposition to. But maybe for the first time, there was a widespread discussion of these doctrinal questions.
And it drove people back to the Word of God.
Right.
Luther translated the Word of God into German.
Mm-hmm.
People started reading the Word of God for themselves. And people began coming to Christ across Germany, across the Low Countries, across Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the world.
And, you know, I would even say, and I know we have Catholic friends who shake their heads over this and saying Luther was not the person we'd want to follow. But you know what? I think that this questioning was good for the Roman Catholic Church as well, because it did lead to them reexamining a lot of things. And there were people who remained within the church, such as Erasmus, you know, many other people who stayed within the church who questioned these doctrines, who came to realize, hey, there are some abuses that need to be corrected. I think there was a purification process within the Church of Rome as a result of Luther standing to ask the question. Now, Luther, you know, Luther did not leave the church himself. He was excommunicated. He was put out of the church by the leadership at that time, by Pope Leo X, I believe it was. And, you know, so the fact that the church was divided.
This was the start of the Protestant churches.
The fact that the church was divided was not his intention, but that's how God brought this all through. So what we come back to is October 31st was the date when he first posted these theses for public discussion.
And this is what is seen as the start of the Reformation. Now,
mm-hmm.
Luther built on the ideas of other people,
mm-hmm.
and he learned from other people, but this is the start of the Reformation, October 31st. And Reformation Day
mm-hmm.
has been celebrated ever since.
Right. And we're going to talk about how we celebrate it in just a minute.
Yes.
I think we could probably start here and take a break as we transition here.
For just a minute or two, and then we're going to talk about our celebration of Reformation Day and what fun it is.
Right.
Okay. First of all, if you are in the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee, you will want to know we are doing our extremely popular Boot Camp 9 to 12 for parents of boys 9 and up to help them get ready for the teen years in the Raleigh, North Carolina area.
Talk about something spreading unexpectedly. We started this a few years ago as an experiment. It's five workshops that we do online. We meet once a week and we talk about issues of raising preteen sons into godly Christian manhood. And
we talk about
mm-hmm.
we talk about the emotional roller coaster, the anger, the absent-mindedness,
mm-hmm.
how to get them to school, purity, the internet and gaming, businesses, entrepreneurship, coming of age ceremonies, seeing themselves as young adults. It's a comprehensive.
It's, you know, we started this a few years ago just as a stopgap for our own ministry. And, wow, we have had hundreds and hundreds of families literally around the world. We've had families like the current class. We've got a family in Nicaragua. We've got a family in Australia. We've had families from
Turkey.
We've
had people from Turkey to mainland
Ireland.
China.
Canadians? Oh, we got Canadians for you. And so, you know, we've got people coming from all over the world to take this online program. We're also going to do it live
in person November 7th and 8th in the Raleigh area.
Right here in suburban Raleigh.
And you can find out more at raisingrealmen.com/Raleigh.
R-A-L-E-I-G-H. Okay.
And you can, if you don't live close enough to get there,
mm-hmm.
you can join us online. We just started a new session. It's not too late. You can hear the first session on recording and join us live for the second session.
Mm-hmm.
Go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp. Honestly, it's everything we wish we'd known when our kids were that age. Now, let's talk about celebrating Reformation Day.
We are talking,
so much fun.
We are talking about Reformation Day. This is something that we do on October 31st, and we have made it a tradition in our family that we all look forward to and enjoy.
Now, sometimes we have invited tons of friends to come over.
Mm-hmm.
or had a party at church or at a community center. And sometimes it's been just our family.
Right.
But whether it's a big crowd or just our family, this is what we do.
Well, first off, let's talk about why celebrate a holiday at all. It's very simple. The biblical pattern is we have holidays to remind us of what God has done, to remember the mighty deeds of our God. And we count this as one of them. And so, you know, we don't have a celebration just to, woohoo, we're going to eat and have a party, but we talk about what God's done and what that means to us. And so, you know, we take this time and we do have a party.
Yes.
But we have a party with a purpose. So, for example.
One of the things we love to do is we love to watch the old Martin Luther movie.
There's an
black and white one.
A black and white film just called Martin Luther.
Yep.
And it was done in conjunction with the Lutheran Sunday School Board, actually.
Yep.
Back in 1954, if I'm not mistaken. You can find it on Amazon. Amazon.com has it. But this is the old black and white version, and it's fascinating. A lot of it was shot on location. I've been to visit some of these places where Martin Luther walked and taught, and where actually he took shelter for a time. I've been to these places, and those are the places that are on the screen. They're actually there. So it's a historically accurate film.
Yeah, you know you got the right one when it says 1953.
1953 yes. It is. Yes.
It's the 1953 version, and it is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's very, very accurate. You'll be there at the place where it happened, you know.
So, yeah.
And it's very heroic, and that's something that's important to me, is I want our children to see the heroism of these people that risked their lives to bring the gospel to the world.
I mean, literally, you know, and that's the significance.
There's a price on Martin Luther's head.
Martin Luther, you know, when Martin Luther raised these questions, he was really called to task for it by the leadership of the Roman Church at that time. And at one point in 1520, he was called before the Imperial Council. It's called the Imperial Diet. And stood before the Emperor Charles V and was called to recant and revoke and renounce his writings. And he said, well, you know, I can't renounce everything because some of these things, some of these are controversial issues of abuses in the church. Some of them are about good works and about charity and about living a quiet, godly life. So I can't renounce everything. And they demanded, you must recant. And he said, after begging time to consider, he said, my conscience is captive to the word of God, and to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. So here I stand. I can do none else. God help me.
Amen.
And, you know, he said that standing in front of the emperor, knowing that other men who had walked that path ahead of him had been burned at the stake for their beliefs. He did not know whether he would walk out of that city alive or if he would be burned to a crisp for his faith. Well, he took that step anyway. And then we point our sons to that and say, you know what? There are things worse than dying.
Yeah.
And there are things more valuable than life. And to stand on the truth of God's word, even in the face of possible loss, is something that is worthwhile and something that we need to honor and to remember. So we talk about Martin Luther, and we talk about this film is great because it portrays that so strongly.
Now, another thing we do is food, because food is a way of building memories with your kids. It's a way of giving them sense and taste and engaging their senses in what you're doing. And later when they're older, that will bring back memories.
And Martin Luther lived in southern Germany and Saxony. What do they eat in Germany? They eat sausage. We have bratwurst. We have sauerkraut.
We've done lots of different things over the years.
We have German potato salad.
Hot German potato salad. Now, don't get grossed out. It's not like creamy potato salad hot.
No,
it's more of a sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And we do hot German potato salad. Lots of times we do bratwurst and knackwurst. Sometimes we've done like Wiener schnitzels, fondue.
Occasionally we'll say, hey, there was a Swiss Reformation as well, and we'll do some Swiss cooking.
Do Swiss fondue, cheese fondue.
Yeah.
Spätzle, which is a kind of noodles.
Yes.
Dumpling noodles.
Yeah.
Now,
Spätzle is a modern thing, but that's
Spätzle.
Yes, spätzle
is the noodle.
Noodle, the dumplings.
And the spätzle is a kind of fun thing that they do in Germany. Now it's modern, but
yeah.
We always do this. Just
it's a half
fun thing.
It's a half and half mix of a cola. You can pick your favorite kind. Cola
something.
And an orange drink.
Sounds gross, but surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good, yes.
Our kids love it.
All right.
And so we have German food or Swiss food
mm-hmm.
because that's where the Reformation happened.
Yeah.
And candy is still a part of it.
Which now?
Candy is still a part of the celebration.
Oh, mercy. Yeah. Yeah. How can you not have candy this week? Yeah. And so we do some things. We'll get a big bowl full of candy. We'll play some games. One of the ones we do is pin the theses on the door. We will set up one of the doors in our house to represent the cathedral doors. I mean, the doors of the church.
Big pieces of brown paper and have the kids draw fancy doors on them.
Yeah. And then we'll blindfold our young contestants and spin them around just like pin the tail on the donkey. But in this case, you're pinning something representing Martin Luther's theses.
We usually use Post-it notes.
That's right.
And they pound the door, and wherever they land on the door, certain parts of the door earn you different candy prizes.
Right.
And so they'll try to aim for the part of the door that they like that candy the best.
That's a major thing to do.
Yeah.
I've known other places like churches do this and have whole costume parties. People
yeah,
will come
we
dressed.
We had a friends party one yeah. time, and they all dressed as characters from the Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun.
Oh, yeah. We know some people who do that kind of thing,
medieval costumes.
So you can make this as big or as intimate as you like it.
Some people have had medieval fairs, you
mm-hmm.
know, and invited all their friends and acquaintances. You know, we were at a medieval fair
mm-hmm.
just recently at the family camp we spoke at,
mm-hmm.
and they did things like they had people braiding the hair for the girls and doing fancy hairdos, and they had a calligraphy booth and a sword training booth and archery, and you know they even did jousting. They had like a row of cones set up, and then two people get on either end with somebody in a wheelbarrow and a rubber sword, and they try to joust at each other off the wheelbarrow.
Wow.
It's really funny.
Okay, so all right, so these are the kind of things we do, and you know what? We have a lot of fun with it.
Really
do. And our friends that come in have had a lot of fun with it. And it calls us back not just to say, hey, this is the time of year we eat lots of candy, but it's a time to remember, hey, we are celebrating somebody who did something noble and courageous.
We're celebrating a hero.
And we're celebrating the heroism of a man of faith. And we're celebrating the work that God's done through all of our lives because of it.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is this to pull off? You know what? If you're just having your family, it's something you can plan that day and pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
You can download this movie
yep.
from one of the online movie services.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out to the store, buy yourself some bratwurst, buy some potatoes and bacon, and make hot German potato salad. Get some Coke and orange juice. Pick up a couple bags of candy.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you can do in a day. You don't have to know when in advance. You can invite other friends over and do it in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard to do. It's easy. There's lots of German recipes online. Big German pancakes is a good recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of easy German recipes. And, you know, the thing about it is the world wants to tell our children that the world has the best fun, and it's just not true.
And the world also wants to tell our children that religion is a crutch for weak people. And when you look at the lives of the heroes of the faith, and not just Martin Luther by any means, but you look at those who have laid everything on the line, you know, to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to deal with this Ebola outbreak in Africa because I love God and I love his people. And if I die, so be it. You know, we've got friends.
We need to live as Christ to die as gain.
We have friends who are on the mission field in Erie and Jaya right now.
We've got friends on the mission field in Liberia.
We've got friends in mission fields all over the world who've said, you know what? I'm going to give up my comfort. I'm going to give up, you know, my free time. I'm going to give up my comfortable middle-class existence here in America and go out and serve God's people in a place that's difficult because somebody's got to do it, and I feel a call. You know, we need to celebrate that kind of heroism.
Yeah.
To say, as I said earlier, there are things that are more important than our own comfort, than even our own lives.
That's an important lesson for our children to learn because when they figure out that this is so important to us,
mm-hmm.
that following Christ is so important to us, it's more important than life itself,
mm-hmm.
than what we believe will impact them. And we need to give our kids heroes that matter. And it doesn't have to be like taking cod liver oil. It can be really a whole lot of fun. This is something our children look forward to all year. The ones that are away from us pout about it, and they're sad that they miss it. And lots of times they do an event wherever they are. And it's a way to share with your friends and neighbors and family and church that, you know what? Christians make great heroes. And the Word of God is worth dying for.
Indeed. Yes, it is.
So I hope if you decide to have Reformation Day celebration that you will let us know. Please send us a message. Say something on our Facebook page, facebook.com/raisingrealmen. Say something on our Facebook page. Send us a picture. Post a picture about it. We would love to hear about your celebration. Because, you know, this has been a precious thing for our family. We've celebrated over 25 years, I think.
It's been that long?
I believe so.
I know we wore out two or three copies of that videotape before we got into the DVD era.
We celebrate over 25 years, and we are joining a long history, over 400 years of the church celebrating that. There are annual celebrations dating back to the 1470s.
Wow.
Yeah.
1470s.
1470s.
That's
before Martin Luther. I'm sorry, 1570s. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Dating back to the 1570s, annual celebrations. And, you know, we can join a long series. This isn't something new, folks. This is something that has been going on a long time in the church.
Kind of like the Reformation itself. We're restoring things that have been there for a while and they've been forgotten.
Now, we're going to write about this on our blog, probably to post Tuesday or Wednesday. So if you need some help finding the right recipes or remembering what we talked about, head over to RaisingRealMen.com and you'll find some help there.
Right. Okay. So anything we need to say here before we wrap things up? Because it looks like we've got just a minute or two left.
You know, join us if you can in Raleigh, November 7th and 8th at RaisingRealMen.com/Raleigh to register. If you can't, how about join us online for Bootcamp 9 to 12, RaisingRealMen.com/Bootcamp. And sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, that's at RaisingRealMen.com/newsletter. Isn't that obvious?
You're going to find out about all kinds of different things we're doing, different events, where we're speaking, and also about deals as we're going into Christmas.
And you know, something else they'll find out about is the Family Business Greenhouse. This is a program that we've just started. It's a three-part series talking about how to take your ideas all the way from a pipe dream to a going family concern. And you know what? We ran our first series of it, just completed that. It's recorded, so you can download that now. But we're starting the second series next week.
Yes, and if you would like
this week, we're starting this Thursday. Yes.
It's called Harvest. If you have a family business, how do you make money?
Yeah, it's one thing to get it started, but how do you get fruit from it? And so we're going to talk about that harvest phase. And if you're interested, go to the website, www.familybusinessgreenhouse.com, and you'll find information on the Sprout, which is the first series, and the second series, Harvest.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
We do appreciate it.
On making Biblical Family Life Practical.
We're here every Monday, or you can get us on iTunes. We hope that you'll download it, and we hope that you'll join us again.
Hey, and if you listen on iTunes, how about go over there and leave us a comment, leave us a review, because iTunes will not start making us easy to find, so you guys
get out
there and do it.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.